in this universe right now, there's a festival going on, which we can be part of right now. It's called Tiruvav Mahotsava of Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami. And Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, Chatasya Hidruvam Ritur Dhruvam Janma Metasaja. You have to understand that taking birth and dying is actually the same thing, just viewed from different perspective. But in dual consciousness, we celebrate one and are very sad about the other. So this is called splitted consciousness. And on the spiritual path, it's called Advaitavad. In the non-dual consciousness. Because Krishna is like this, Advaita Majuta Manadi Manantarupam. So, we are speaking about a non-dual Lord. Because His name and His being is one. We heard from Maharaj, when Madhya Yashoda looked in Him, she saw everything in Him. So there is no duality between inside and outside of Him. There is, we heard, when Krishna is having his picnic with the coward boyfriends, they sit in a circle, Krishna is in the middle, but each and every of the coward boyfriends, they have the feeling, oh, he's looking right to me. This means he's Advaita. There is no front and back. There is no duality in that. So on the path of Advaita, there is also, we celebrate the appearance of a Vaishnava, but in the same way we celebrate the disappearance of a Vaishnava. It's Advaita. It's both a great festival. Just with one little Vaishishtya, one little difference. When a Vaishnava comes to this world, a very great burning lover of the Lord. Normally the world doesn't know at that time who he is, who she is. And they're silent. But when this personality leaves, everyone is crying. So we're very fortunate now to enter in a festival where one of the greatest, today's the day, where one of the greatest Vaishnavas of our time, of modern time, left us here and returned to the eternal abode. So Avirbhav here, when he appears here, this is the kindness of the Lord, that he bears the separation of such a Vaishnava for short time. Out of his compassion, he gives us the association of such a soul. But Tirobhav means Krishna can no longer tolerate. I have to take you back now. So, and one thing we can be for sure in this world, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam spoken by Muchukunda Maharaj. He says, my dear Lord, when one is liberated from material existence, one gets the association of your dear devotees. It's very interesting. Most of the people would say it's other way around. When we get the association of your dear devotees, we will be liberated from material existence. But this prayer of Mojukunda says it the other way around. And Vishwanachari Thakur says something very wonderful. He says, when two things happen very short, one after another, you cannot distinguish which was first. So, we cannot say, you know, what was first. So, that's why we can surely say that we get association of Vaishnavas, and we get to hear and to read about very, very wonderful souls. We can be 100% sure Krishna had great compassion to us. And we can be sure that liberation from the cycle of birth and death, from deepest ignorance, which is for most souls on the spiritual path the main thing, we can be sure, maybe this already happened, but we don't realize because service is anyway going on. So there is no much care for that. So today we want to reflect and hear something from Maharaj about Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj in that context. This is just to remember such a soul and just to remember the kindness of the Lord, that He allowed us such association, is the surest sign that He is kind to us.
Swami Krishna Chandra Prabhu ki jai. Magyan Tmirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Nama Shrestam Manumapi Satsiputram Atrasarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Rupurim Maturim Gastavatim Radha kundam giri param maho radhik madhavasam prapto yasya pratikta gripaya shri gurum tannatasmi divam divyam tanusu chanda vadnam balarka chelantitam sandrananda puram sadika vadnam vairagya gatya sudim Sri Siddhantanidhim Subhakti Lasitam Sarasvatanambaram Vanditam Subhadam Madhikapsharanam Nyachishwaram Sridharam Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayivacha Patita Nampavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Nikhila Shruti Mali Ratnamala Dyuti Nirajita Padapanka Janta Aji Mukta Kulai Rupashyamanam Paritasram Harinam Samshayami Anarepita Charim Chirat Karunayavatirna Kalo Shamar Paitamunnatoch Palarasa Svabhakti Shriyam Hari purata sundara dyuti kadamba sandipita sada hridaye kandhare spurato vasachinandana ajanulambita bhujo kanakavadato sankirtanai kapitaro kamalaya takshum Vishwambaro dvijabaro jugadharma palu Vande jagat priyakaro karunavataru Lhadini shakti sarupaya gauranga suridaya cha Bhakta shakti pradanaya gadadharanamastute He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Vandho Jagat Pate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Radhe Vrindavanadhi Se Karunam Vrita Vahine Kripaya Nija Padabja Dasyan Mahim Pradiyatam Bhaktya Vina Aparadha Lakshay Chitta Sakamaditarangamaye Kripa Maitvam Sharanam Prapanam Vrinde Maste Charanarvindam Vrinde Maste Charanarvindam Srila Gurudev ki jai, Sriman Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Sri Gaur Gadadhar ji ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Govinda ji ki jai, Sri Hari Nam Sankirtan ki jai, Tirubab Mahotsav ki Srila Bhakti Rakshakti Adhik Goswami Maharaj ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Praman Hari Hari So, good evening to all of you. Pranam.
Könnt ihr hören oder vielleicht müssen wir ein bisschen mehr zusammenrücken, oder?
You can come closer if you want.
Yes.
Okay. I'm not that strict of the sannyasi, nobody can be close to me, so you can be close. I'm not such a strict sannyasi, nobody can get close to me. Upanishad, Upanishad. Nandini is not ready to get closer, it seems. She got her asana there. I'll speak as loud as I can, but it may rain as loud as it comes. This here. Even if you need to put the flowers a little closer, you get closer.
It's only for short time.
No. Can you hear me there? Trivanga Prabhu is translating. So can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay. I'll try to speak loud. So as Krishna Chandra Prabhu was telling us, we are celebrating very most holy occasion today, which is the Tirubab Mahotsav of Srila Bhakti Rakshakti Ardev Goswami Maharaj. Or his disappearance day, basically. As Krishna Chandra Prabhu appropriately mentioned, both appearance and disappearance of a Mahatma is beyond this fractured consciousness of dichotomies and duality through which we perceive reality. Like rain, non-rain, hot, cold, good, bad, I don't like, birth, death, long list of dichotomies. In fractured consciousness.
Friend, enemy.
Long list. So, Vaishnavas, in order to show that this duality has to be transcended, they are pointing to us to those personalities who are beyond those dualities. And therefore we celebrate both their appearance and their disappearance day. So on one level, of the Abed equation, we could say Abed. There's no difference between birth and death in a great personality. Or even there's no difference between birth and death in anyone. I mean, if you are not a great personality, you will perceive a difference. And you will be afraid of the difference. You will be celebrating the birth, but when death is getting closer, you don't want to speak about that too much. As we said the other day, for Yudhishthira Maharaj, this is the greatest paradox on earth. No? If there is one single thing that will happen to exactly every single person, is that everyone will have to leave their bodies. And if there is one single topic that most of the people do not like to speak about, is that single thing that will happen to every single person. So that's paradoxical, because we spend time speaking about so many things that will never happen to all of us. No? Sometimes people are really getting interested about the latest news about whatever. If the princess in UK got COVID or not. What would that change my trajectory into eternity? How that will actually be affecting my own life. But we are consuming all this gossip like it's totally irrelevant to our individual situation. But when the time comes to speak about that thing that is absolutely 100% universal and relevant, most of us do not want to hear nor speak about those things. So in one sense again, Vaishnavas will tell us birth and death are two sides of the same coin. So as we spoke these days, we should, as in the drama was mentioned yesterday as well, death will put life into context. So we need to integrate the two. Now we need not to see a difference between one and the other. So the more you see how death is life, how life is death, the more you will understand what's real life and what's actual death. Because in the conditioned state, when we don't have a clear idea what does it mean to be alive, and we don't have a clear idea about what's the meaning of death. For example, the personality we are celebrating today, she was very fond of quoting Hegel.
Yes.
And a very short line, three words, that include these two words, death and life, but in the proper context. So Srila Siddha Maharaj, one of his favorite quotes will be, die to live. So when you hear that, it's like, it's not that live to die. Generally in this world, people will have that orientation. You live till you die. But here he's saying, die so you can live. There's another type of life waiting for you, but for that, there's a type of death waiting for you first. And of course, that's the type of death that Krishna is inviting Arjuna to go through in the Bhagavad Gita as well. No? Which we could call it the ego death. No? So the more we die to our false sense of identity, the more we can be really alive to who we actually are. Or to all that we can be, to all the potential of the Atman. So Vaishnavas, to make that point, celebrate both birth and death of a great personality. Because great personality is born as a great personality and is living as a great personality. So that's the abet side of the equation, the non-different side. No, we celebrate both birth and death of great personalities. But our philosophy is not only abet or advaita, but we venerate that non-dual side. But there's also bhed, achintya bhed, abhed. So there's difference and non-difference. So Krishna Chandra Prabhu also make this point as well. So although the appearance and disappearance of the great personality is the same. Also, we can establish one difference. And he mentioned that. He said when a great soul is born, maybe nobody knows. But when he or she is passing, leaving this world, everybody knows. So in one sense, the Tirobhav Mahotsav is a special celebration. So that's the bad side of the equation. There is some difference between the two, and there's some special grace in that Tirobhav, in that celebration of the Nitya Lila Pravishta, no? The entrance into the eternal game, divine game of Bhagavan. Can you hear me?
Yes.
If not, get closer because my throat is, that's a limit. There's some place here if someone wants. Yeah, yeah. So, also in this disappearance day, we have a special mercy because we can access the what we call union by through separation, union in separation. That's a way to attain ultimate union. That's what Mahaprabhu taught. Huh? The mercy is raining more and more.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Samsara davana lalita lokatranaya karunya ganadanatvam. You are singing that every morning, so now you are calling for that. That's coming. I'll take this in my closet, maybe help. So there is a way to get united by separation. Again, this sounds paradoxical. Because for dual mind, separation is separation and union is union. Again. Can you hear? No. It's okay. You can put that on one side and everyone can fit here. No? Here it's raining quite heavily for those connected online who cannot, who are wondering what's going on. We are fixing some technical details here.
So she will get out of here.
So we were on the topic of the bad and a bad side of the equation. On one side, the appearance and the disappearance of the sadhus are equally important, but on another side, there is special importance in their disappearance because that gives us the chance to enter into the unique paradoxical experience of union and separation. Whereas we were speaking this out the other day, there is a possibility of sweetness and suffering. In the conversation between Mahaprabhu and Sri Ramananda Rai, at one point, after the main conversation, comes like a very, how to say, today they say like chit-chat or something like that. A very short questions and answers. So Mahaprabhu asked Rai Ramananda, what's the greatest type of suffering? Rai Ramananda says, has only one thing to say, Krishna Bhakta Viraha Vina Dukkha Nahyar. Apart from separation of the Krishna Bhakta, I know of all no other suffering. But again, that suffering in separation from the Vaishnava is suffering that makes us get closer to them. So we call it suffering, but if something is bringing me closer to the Vaishnava, how much we can call that suffering? No? But some word has to be ascribed to that emotion, so sometimes that's called suffering. So today we are celebrating again the divine
this appearance day of Srila Bhakti Lakshasya Goswami, which is one of my Param Gurudevs, in other words, the guru of my guru. My guru Maharaj has taken shelter in Srila Siddhar Maharaj as his Siksha Guru, right after Srila Prabhupada, his Diksha Guru, Harinam Guru, Sanyas Guru. He passed away from this world. My Guru Maharaj told me once he was massaging the feet of Srila Prabhupada, and someone asked Srila Prabhupada, because that these were the last days of Srila Prabhupada. So everyone started to know at any moment he may leave. So someone asked him, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he asked him, when you are no longer with us, Srila Prabhupada, is there someone else we can go for shelter, for guidance? So he mentioned on one side Srila Narayan Maharaj and connected him also to the details as well of his Samadhi ceremony. And also he said for philosophy, which is another way of saying for Siksha, my god brother V.R. Siddhar Maharaj in Navadvip. And he will say many wonderful things about Srila Siddhar Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada will say, Srila Siddhar Maharaj is my Siksha Guru. So he said, for what to speak the benefit you will get from his association. He is my own Siksha Guru. It's funny because once Srila Prabhupada passed away and some devotees took shelter in Srila Siddhar Maharaj, as always happens when a great acharya lives, some confusion may be there due to suffering and due to not knowing what to do, and our dearest person is leaving, and for sure we will be disturbed. Srila Siddhar Maharaj will say, indeed we must be disturbed because the most beloved person has left, in one sense, of course. In another sense, he's just turning in manifest, if you will, so we can find him or her in a deeper place. Indeed, that's what Srila Siddhar Maharaj said to some of Prabhupada's disciples when they went to him after Prabhupada passed away. And they told Srila Siddhar Maharaj, our Guru Maharaj has passed away. And Srila Siddhar Maharaj said, okay, so now we will see who is a disciple of your Guru Maharaj. Those who were really serving him in his presence are the ones who will continue serving him in his physical absence. So the passing away of the spiritual master is a big test. It's a big invitation to go deeper into our discipleship. So, Srila Siddhar Maharaj, when some devotees went to Srila Siddhar Maharaj, unfortunately in time, there was some opinions in which devotees will say, but why, what's the need of going to someone else? It's not enough with Srila Prabhupada. Even some devotees will think, I cannot understand how you can have two gurus. Some good brothers told that to my Guru Maharaj. When he will say, who are your Guru there? And he said, may I reply in plural? May I follow Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in the very first two words of Chaitanya Charitamrita?
Bande Guru.
Which are those first two words? Bande Gurun. That's in plural. I offer pranam to my gurus. So if you don't catch that point, the first two words of Chaitanya Charitamrita, probably you won't understand the whole of the 1,000 verses that come after.
So like in the Mangalacharan, Vandeham Shri Guru. It's also plural.
So indeed Srila Siddhar Maharaj is famous to saying, our goal is to enter a land of gurus. The goal is to enter a place where everything is your guru. Of course, you have to begin somewhere, so at the beginning, at least you have to have one guru. Because sometimes people will say, I don't want to accept one guru because I don't want to limit myself to one guru. But generally, that's an excuse not to have any guru at all. In the name of, I want to have everyone as my guru. But sometimes that's only lip service to the idea. Generally, we need one guru, and that one guru will show us there are more than one guru. And eventually, you will develop this universal vision. So sometimes my guru Mahal will say, how can you have two gurus? Srila Prabhupada, Srila Siddhartha Maharaj. And my guru Mahal will reply, well, Srila Prabhupada had two gurus. Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, my siksha guru is Srila Siddhartha Maharaj. So he had two. So if he can, I think it's not a problem, he will say. Like chuckling, like in playing. Please read Chaitanya Charitamrita again. So, Srila Siddhartha Maharaj, of course, he was not only the siksha guru of my Gurudev, but the siksha guru, diksha guru, sannyas guru of so many others. He was the sannyas guru of Srila Bhakti Pragyan Kesava Goswami Maharaj, the Diksha Gurudev of Srila Narayan Maharaj. He was actually considered by most, like the most immediate authority after Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Most of them felt Srila Siddhartha Maharaj is someone who knows so much the heart of our Gurudev. They say that one of the crucial moments in which Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta was captured by Srila Siddhartha Maharaj was when Srila Siddhartha Maharaj composed a prayer in praise of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Viraha Dasakam. These are 10 verses in separation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he glorified that person who is the dearmost to Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta. Srila Siddhartha Maharaj was very Sumedha Saha, very intelligent about how can I capture my Gurudev's heart fully. I'll glorify that person that has captured his heart fully. His Bhaktivinoda, his Gurudev, his father. So he composed this. And when Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta was reading this prayer, he asked, who wrote this? He didn't know. And someone said, Srila Siddhartha Maharaj. Prabhupada said, no. This was revealed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself. And then he said, after reading this, Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta said, I can leave my body. I'm quiet. I have no problem leaving my body at any moment. Because I know that there is at least one person who has understood what I came to give. Of course, it doesn't mean he was the only one who understood, but he was praising Srila Siddhartha Maharaj in this special way. This is this very famous, well-known pastime in which once Sri Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta had to install some deities. So the whole ceremony was organized, and he, Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta, was coming from another city by train. And in the temple there were people from the government, important people from society, other sampradaya, big event. So the whole ceremony started, and then came the part in the pran pratishta, or the installing of the deities, in which the acharya has to put tulsi at the feet of Thakurji and invite Bhagavan to reside in that particular form. So that's supposed to be done by the acharya. So Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta was supposed to do that. But he was still on the train. And at that time there was no WhatsApp to ask Gurudev how far you are, how long will it take. So they wait some time, they try to extend as much as they could the event to see if he was coming. But he was not coming. So his disciples didn't know what to do. So they went to Srila Siddhartha Maharaj. Again, he was considered like the... Whatever he says, it's what our Guru Maharaj will have said, something like this. And Srila Siddhartha Maharaj said, no, better we continue ourselves with the ceremony. Guru Maharaj will be most pleased with that. So they say, okay, so you please, Maharaj, you are the senior devotee here, you do that part of the ceremony. So Srila Sri Maharaj did. But Srila Sri Maharaj, in the same way, he was not famous for being a melodious kirtaniya. He was neither famous for being expert in all the ritualistic details of how to perform this and that, which is something secondary. It's not that if you are super detailed and technical in everything, you must be more advanced. Sometimes it's the opposite. But Srila Sri Maharaj did this from the most essential place of his heart. No? Because Krishna was in his heart as he was inviting to manifest there. And technically speaking, the deity is an external manifestation of the heart of Sri Guru, of the sadhu who is inviting the deity to come. So we are seeing externally what is internal in the heart of the sadhu. Because as we always say, the sadhus are personifications of love for Krishna. And wherever there is love for Krishna, there is Krishna. Aham tishtami vaikunthe vinam hridayesu va tatrani tishtami narada matkayanticham bhaktyaya. There are some different versions of the verse. But basically Krishna tells to Narada, oh Narad, I'm not in Vaikuntha, I'm not in the hearts of the yogis, but I'm in that place where one, two or more of my devotees get together to sing about me. That's the very definition of sadhu sangha given in the Gita, one of the Chatushloki, 9th verse, 10th chapter. Krishna says, my devotees are absorbed in me, they get together to always speak about me, they enlighten one another speaking about me, and in this way they nourish each other and they provide bliss and put delight to each other. Famous story of two devotees from the Ramanuja Sampradaya. Srila Sri Maharaj liked to share that story. The two of them, there were only two devotees, like in a cave, and it was raining like now. It was Chaturmasya, so this time of the year. So they couldn't go anywhere, so the two of them were just in a cave. So they started to... Upanishadic moment came. Secret, confidential conversation about the lore of their hearts. So after a few minutes of speaking intimately and sharing their hearts, one of them says, you know what? We are two here, but I'm perceiving the presence of a third person among us. And the other devotees say, I'm experiencing the same. And that third person is the person about which we are speaking about here now. So Krishna has become manifest in our katha. So the point is this, no? Love of Krishna is in the heart of the devotee. And wherever there is love of Krishna, Krishna has to be there. He cannot be there. He cannot not be there. Sadabo hridayam mahyam sadunam hridayam tvaham. Madanyatina jananti naham tibyo managapi. Krishna is saying, I'm the hearts of my devotees, and they are my heart. I don't know anything apart from them. They do not know anything apart from me. Totally falling in love. I cannot see anything else. Love is blind. I only see my beloved. So wherever there's love of Krishna, Krishna is there. You follow the point? So as the song says, what is the song? Govinda is residing in your heart. Vishram. Anyhow, Govinda is residing in the heart of a Vaishnava. So a Vaishnava is inviting Govinda, Bhagavan, to appear in one form. Govinda is already in the heart of that Vaishnava. So he extends his presence to that particular form. So having made that important point, Srila Sridhar Maharaj invited Bhagavan to appear in the deity. Remember the story we were telling. So everything continued then, Diti was installed. Some, after some hours, Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta came. And eventually one devotee was telling Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta how the whole ceremony was conducted. And one devotee said, but Guru Maharaj, in the moment of Pran Pratishtha, when the deity was invoked to be present in the Bhagavan was invoked to be manifest in the form of Sri Murti, not every single detail of the ritual was exactly perfectly followed. Some devotee was looking at that and checking. And he said, so I'm not sure if Krishna is actually present in the deity or not. So I would like to confirm that with you. But with good intention, he was not with bad intention, just like curious. And Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta replied in a very interesting way. He didn't ask which was the mistake in the ritual. He said, who was the person doing it? Like implying, I only need to know that. You tell me who did the mistake, and I will tell you how much Krishna is present there or not. So the reply was, Srila Siddhar Maharaj. Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta had only one thing to say. Whatever a surrendered devotee does is always perfect. A surrendered devotee cannot commit any mistake. End of the conversation. You follow. So if the heart is in the right place, my Guru Maharaj will say, some details may be missing externally, but if the heart is in the right place, again, Baba Grahi Janardana, Krishna is accepting the banana peels of the wife of Vidura. Krishna is taking the essence of the offering. So Srila Siddhar Maharaj was such a person in the eyes of his Guru Dev. So these are not disciples of him glorifying his Guru. This is his Guru glorifying his disciple. And this is not the only thing that Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta said about Srila Siddhar Maharaj. We can go on the whole day and night just saying what Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta said about Srila Siddhar Maharaj. Or what Srila Prabhupada said about Srila Siddhar Maharaj. So many things. Prabhupada say things like, whatever I learned from Srila Siddhar Maharaj. They were so close to each other. Indeed, they lived together for 5 years in the same house. I had the chance of visiting that house last year in Kolkata when Prabhupada was still a grihasta. And he was writing his sketch of the Bhagavad Gita. He was living with Srila Siddhar Maharaj as a sannyasi, and Srila Siddhar Maharaj was writing his own commentary on Bhagavad Gita. And they will make programs, and Srila Siddhar Maharaj will preach, Srila Prabhupada will play the mridanga and do kirtan. So they knew each other very intimately. You can imagine living together for 5-6 years. We are quite close. So Srila Siddhar Maharaj was like the very epitome, the very form of this principle of Siksha Guru. Again, he was Diksha Guru, Sannyas Guru of so many. But we could say his specialty was in giving shelter and relief and instruction to so many. And in one sense, this is especially the case of with many disciples of other gurus, especially of Srila Prabhupada, who went to him in a moment of greatest need. So this began to happen right after Prabhupada passed away. So this was in 1978, this began to happen. So at that point, Srila Siddhar Maharaj was more than 80 years. He was totally blind from one eye and almost 80% blind from the second eye. At that time, mostly he wouldn't go out from his room. He would only go from his room to the veranda. And maybe once a year he will go down, because his room was like on a rooftop. He will go down once a year for Gaur Purnim or for Vyasa Puja. He was assisted because he could no longer almost walk or move or see. So my point is, he was in a very precarious situation, physically speaking. But nonetheless, these young boys will go to him, Prabhupada disciples and others, and he will give to them twice a day darshan for hours. And he will become so fired up. As we, I think, say the other day. Because also these boys had so much faith and so much enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. Also they required so much guidance because they were relatively new. The senior most devotee had maybe 10 years of practicing. In those times, some Prabhupada disciples told me that. When they went to the temple, a senior devotee meant, oh, he's practicing for 6 months. Because everyone was new. So a very old devotee will have 1 year of practice or something. So in one sense, now we are very fortunate. We are joining the movement and we have devotees who are practicing for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Like I was here, my guru actually yesterday telling me, half a century I've been practicing. So the point is, all these new bhaktas will come with such enthusiasm and sincerity. And Srila Samaras liked a lot sincerity. He always will emphasize this idea. Sincerity is invincible. So that's his own version of one line of the Gita. No. Sincerity is invincible. If you are sincere, there's nothing that can defeat you. He will speak so many new things during those years, almost 10 years that he remained alive. He passed away in 1988. And as we say the other day, his personal servant and eventual successor acharya, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Maharaj, he will tell the disciples of Prabhupada, I've been hearing from Guru Maharaj for the last 40 years or more, and I never heard him saying all these new things that are coming from him now when he's speaking to you. So the implication of that is the sincerity of your questions is bringing out so much new realization from the heart of Gurudev. So you are doing your 50%, he did. And Srila Samaras says, new gems are coming from the bottom of the ocean of his heart and exploring them. So I'm not so sure how much the ones present here, all of you, know Srila Siddhar Maharaj's message, mood. Of course, we have it here. It's there in our altar, here and there, in both directions. But his style is very unique. Of course, that's a picture from the veranda of his room, as he mentioned. There's no other place you will see. All the pictures and videos you will see from him mostly are from that place. And that's a very beautiful place. I had every time I go to Navadvip, I go to Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. That's his mat. Which is in Koladvip, one of the 9 islands of Navadvip. And his room is... You have to do some journey. It's Upanishadic, it's secret. But you can, when you reach there, you can feel his presence. You can feel his presence so much there. So many things happen in that room. For more than 10 years, so much was going on in that specific spot, in a very condensed way. So you go to his room, apart from seeing his bed, his clothes, his remnants, the veranda, his chair, the pictures, he's there, living eternally, if you will. So, he, interestingly, he founded his mission It was not his idea to found a mission. Again, if you get to know a little bit the life of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, you will realize he was a totally low-profile personality. How do you say in English? Like, unpretentious, thank you. No? Not looking for any attention, totally humble. Everyone said that he was born, when I heard that one, it was like, wow. To say that he was born without pratistha. I'm praying to die with a little less of pratistha. But he was born without it. So that already speaks about which was the foundation. From that basis onward. Without pratistha, what comes after that? Pratistha means this desire for position, name, fame. Here I am, put the spotlight here a little bit more on me. He had nothing of that. But he had all good qualities. So when you have someone with all good qualities plus extreme humility, that combination is very sweet. Someone with lots of knowledge but extreme humility at the same time. That's not so easy to find. You can find someone with lots of knowledge and with lots of pride because of that lots of knowledge.
Do we know who he was in the previous life?
Do we know?
Yeah. Did he know and shared it? Because he came...
Not that I know, at least in a public way, because, it's, again, his mood was so much low profile that he's not the type of person he will speak about those things. I will say that mostly. Maybe in some confidential talk with someone, but generally he was more like... So, which was my point that I was saying. So he was born without pratistha. He had full knowledge. Srila Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta gave a title to him. He will use to give titles to his disciples. Not only the titles like when given sannyas, no? Like Bhakti Rakshak, which is already a lot. No? Bhakti Rakshak means guardian of devotion. Protector of bhakti. So that was the name given to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. But the title he gave was Shastra Nipun. Shastra Nipun is the term that basically means it refers to someone who is a scriptural genius. Who does not only know Shastra in theory, but who has such a grasp and understanding of the essence of Shastra that they can explain that in ways that nobody else explained them before. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj was famous for that. He will present the ancient truths in ever new fresh language with never new layers of and in such a poetic way. I remember I was astonished when I read from Srila Sridhar Maharaj first time when I joined the ashram. It was in 1999, so like 23 years ago. And I had the great fortune of knowing about Srila Prabhupada and Srila Sridhar Maharaj at the very same time from day one. So for me, Srila Sridhar Maharaj was there immediately. And I felt so much charmed by his mood and style. But when I used to read his books, in the beginning I didn't know the background of those books. So I thought, wow, this is so nicely written. This must have taken time to sit and think and write all the things that are here in these books. And there were one book after another. In Spanish we had a compilation of all of his main books in one single book. It was like 1,000 and something pages. So you can imagine. And then after some time I got to know he didn't write any of those books. All those things were things he was just speaking spontaneously. Someone was recording and then typing. He was not sitting and thinking what to say. He was just saying it. Of course, he wrote some compositions, some songs, some poetry, unique in Sanskrit. He was a very expert pundit in Sanskrit. Very famous ones to Sri Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta, to Mahaprabhu, Premadama Devastot, so many, beautiful. So when he wanted to write, he could do that also. But most of the things we know were just like... So he will speak as if he's writing. You don't find that very easily. That level of flow, of poetry, of charm. And he spoke very good English also. So he was very ideal person to deal with a Western audience, to give shelter and guidance to them. He knew their DNA, if you will. So he could convey the ancient Indian Vedic tradition, if you will, also in a Western packaging, which is something relative, but if that's not in place, sometimes that may affect the absolute side of our faith. Do you follow my point? Maybe your acharya is an uttam mahabhagavat, but maybe on a cultural relative level there are lots of difference between him and you. Maybe your guru is whatever, some sadhu Babaji living in a cave in Govardhan who never took a step out of Raj. And you were born in Zurich or something like that, and you're dealing with other realities. No? Mind, psychology, culture, language. So, of course, it doesn't mean that you won't be able to derive any benefit from that person. But in certain points, you may feel that you are not able to fully understand, or the other person is not able to fully understand some situation you are living in, because you are coming from another planet, basically. Srila Prabhupada said that when he went to the West for the first time. He will write one letter to Srila Narayana Maharaj saying he was in New York. So that was a pretty, from Radha Damodar to New York, that's a pretty good contrast. He didn't came to the mountains here in Switzerland, it's kind of in between, but right to New York. So that's exact antithesis of Vrindavan, at least of Vrindavan at that time. Now Vrindavan may seem more like New York nowadays, no? Lots of likes and noises externally. So Srila Prabhupada will say in the letter, during night, all the lights are on here. Like in Chamatkar, he will say that, like, at night, where one is supposed to be sleeping, the whole city is awakened. And of course, New York is known as such, the city that never sleeps. And then he will say, and everyone has a car here. And not only that, but they drive the car themselves. Because at that time in India, you have the car if you are a rich person. And if you were a rich person with a car, you had a chauffeur also. Nobody will drive their own car. You follow? But in the States, everyone has a car and everyone was driving it. So I was like, what's going on here? It's like I'm landing into another planet. No? So that's a relative thing, but he paid attention to that when he tried to address the audience. No? And he gradually started to grasp and to know and so on, no? As much as he could. So, for example, Srila Sanatana Goswami in his Hari Bhakti Vilas, he also says, and you have to understand this point, he says, if you are a sutra by birth, probably the best thing for you is to accept a sutra guru. Or if you are Brahmin, probably to accept a Brahmin guru. He's not making this as an absolute statement, but he's making this point. Every person in the Varnas have a particular psychology. So it may help you that your guru has a similar psychology than you. It may help for you to relate better to his intention, his mood. You follow my point? Because if not, I don't know. Maybe your guru is Indian and may speak strongly about something, and you may think, oh, he's angry with me or something. I don't know, it's just his nature. But you may, your faith may be disturbed by this cultural baggage, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur will call it. So anyhow, my point was that Srila Siddhartha Maharaj was a Shastra Nipun. That he could present Shastra in a very contemporary way. He studied Western philosophy being young. So he will draw this example, quote Hegel, and speak about Einstein and these Western personalities, Schopenhauer, and so on. So, and Shastra Nipun, interestingly, is also one term that Rupa Goswami uses in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Shastra Nipun, which means, which he refers to an Uttam Adhikari. A Kanishtha Adhikari does not Shastra too much, and his faith is still Komal Shraddha, is tender. A Madhyam will have strong faith and will have more knowledge than the Kanishtha, but not that much knowledge. But an Uttam, he will have very strong faith and Shastra Nipun. He will know Shastra from up to down, west to east, north to south. And again, not like copy-paste. No? You follow? Because it's comparatively easy to memorize the whole thing. But to grasp the essence, comparatively easier. I didn't say totally easy. It's comparatively easier to memorize the thing than to grasp the essence of that thing, practice that, live there, and know how to present that according to time, place, and circumstance. You have to become a knower of deshakalabi, time, place, circumstance. That's very important. So Srila Siddhartha was has such knowledge, but he was born without pratishtha. So try to imagine this, how powerful is this combination. No. So I was saying this because in the context of he was never willing to have a mission. Indeed, when Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta passed from this world, some problems were there as usual when every great personality passes. And Srila Siddhartha Maharaj, in his mood, he kind of retired from the whole situation. And he went to Ekchakra, which is the land where Nityananda Prabhu was born. The land of extreme mercy. And the land of Akanda Guru Tattva. Of the undivisible principle of Sri Guru. So there were some complex situations in the math regarding the passing of Sri Guru. So Srila Siddhartha Maharaj went, I will go to the land of our original Guru and beg for mercy there. I would like to dedicate myself to a life of bhajan. No, he had this bhajanandi tendency. He could be the whole day. As my Guru Maharaj likes to say, Srila Siddhartha Maharaj knew a lot of verses, but he would like to contemplate a few verses for eternity. And he will continue thinking about, oh, tatin ukampam shushamik. And after 20 years, tatin ukampam. And he's continuing, like, he can quote all the other verses as well. But he could become captured in one direction and, oh. And he could be the whole day just like experiencing sacred wonder. Oh, ooh, oh. And he didn't have a need of, I need an audience. So they may fire me up. Of course, when there was a sincere audience, he was fired up. But he could be by himself, lost in contemplation. He had that adhikar. He was an introspective person, an introverted in his own personality. He was not like Srila Prabhupada, like, let's lead a world mission and conquer the world. Which again, it's not better or worse, it's just different personalities. And we have to understand those things. It's not that, oh, he's not a preacher, he's lower, or he's lower because he's a preacher, he's not a Vajananandi. No? Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta will say, a Goshtyanandi, or a preacher, although that's not the exact word, but anyhow, a Goshtyanandi is a Vajananandi who preaches. Even in the, if you are preaching, that is not an excuse to know, do not engage in bhajan. As we said the other day, Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta was such a Goshtyanandi. He established this huge mission. But before starting that, he chanted 1 billion names. Sata Koti Nam Yajna. Which means he sat and chanted 3 lakhs every day for 10 years, basically. And then he said, maybe it's the time to preach now. He didn't think after 1 week in the temple, okay, I will go to preach and convince others about bhakti. He thought, I think I need to be convinced myself. No, let's put myself to test. Let's sit for 10 years chanting 92 rounds per day. And then let's see if I'm fit for preaching. So to say that when he was finishing his last round of the whole bow, because it's a bow to complete in 1 decade, that's not a joke. No? We generally take a bow to complete, make this bow for Ekadasi, for Chaturmasya, for Kartik, 1 month, a few months. It was 1 decade, non-stop, non-failing. No? I mean, he was determined. Mm-hmm. We need some switching? Okay. We have 10 seconds of recreation. So Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta made this bow, and it is said that when he chanted the last Maha Mantra of the last round, the last day, one verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita came flying in a piece of paper.
What
a piece of paper with a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh, wow. So he was meditating. How can I, my Gurudev Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked me to spread the message of Mahaprabhu. How to do that? So he engaged in 1 decade, Vrata, for knowing how to do that. No, it's not that your Guru gives you an instruction, and, okay, Gurudev, in 5 minutes it's ready. No? He felt I need a decade to think deeply how to do that properly. So when he finished the bow, this verse is coming, flying. You generally don't receive flying verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in that verse is Mahaprabhu's instruction to the Goswamis. Now go to Vrindavan, establish temples, establish worship of the deity, write devotional books, and teach Vaishnav Sadachar, behavior, proper behavior. So he felt, okay, these are the foundations of my mission. So then he woke up after 10 years. He woke up from his bhajan. He began his mission. So he was a Goshtyanandi, but he had this background of bhajananandi. You cannot sit for Sat Koti Nam Yajna if you are not a bhajananandi. So Srila Siddhamaraj was similarly a deep bhajananandi. So after the mission was in this conflict, he went to Nityananda Prabhu's land to obtain mercy from him and for him to give residence, for Nityananda Prabhu to give Srila Siddhamaraj residence in the abode of Navadvip. Srila Siddhamaraj was always very attracted to Mahaprabhu. And in his humility, he felt, my place to stay is the land of Mahaprabhu. Which is not different from Braj, but with the added dose of mercy. So he started to pray, Nityananda Prabhu, give me mercy, give me mercy. And it is said that at that moment he had an epiphany, a revelation. He was praying to Nityananda Prabhu for mercy, And Nityananda Prabhu replied to him, "Oh, you are praying for my mercy, but you are not willing to give mercy to anyone?" Because at that point already many devotees wanted to take shelter in Srila Sridhar Maharaj after Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta left. But he was not accepting disciples.
What age was that? Was
he was like, let's say, 40 something. Yeah, he accepted initiation when he was like in his early 30s. So he spent like 10 and a little bit more than that, the decade with his Guru Maharaj. So let's say 40 something. But he was refusing. No. Who I am, I'm in humility, not escaping from responsibility, but just in deep humility. So he was praying to Nitai, "Give me mercy, Nitai Chan." So Nitai told him, "So you are asking mercy, or you are not willing to give mercy? Like implying, you want my mercy, but you have to give mercy as well." So Srila Sridhar Maharaj make a contract with Nityananda Prabhu. So he say, "Okay, let's do like this." Because he say, "That's the only way you can come and live in this land, no? Navadvip and so on." Srila Sridhar Maharaj say, "Okay, my nature is not to go and try to capture people, no? And bring people to me. But if someone comes to me without me looking for them, then I'll accept them. But I won't be looking people to create a mission. That's not my nature." So Nityananda Prabhu said, "Acha." So that was the contract. So Srila Sridhar Maharaj began to do his bhajan in Navadvip. And again, he was so special that naturally some people were drawn to him. Some disciples came, some disciples want to live with him, but he was just living in one little cottage there. So the necessity came, okay, I think we have to build some rooms for them, and some temple, and the deity has to be established. So gradually, he formed a mission. Although that was not his plan. He's not a managerial person. Indeed, Srila Prabhupada many times expressed, "I would like to make Srila Sridhar Maharaj the president of my institution." He even told to Prabhupada, to Srila Sridhar Maharaj, "I can construct a house for you in Mayapur, and you can reside there. And even I will put a lift," because for him it was difficult to move. "So we can have a lift if you need to go up and down, and the boats can go and have darshan of you there. You don't have to do anything. We will bring everything to your feet." Srila Prabhupada really wanted Srila Sridhar Maharaj there. But again, Srila Sridhar Maharaj was more like, he was not pushing for that. He was more pushing back in that direction. So he preferred the more isolated, not like quiet life. Even if you go now to his Chaitanya Saraswat Ma, that's a very quiet place. It's not like like in the middle of the jungle or something. Now it's more, there are more construction, but at that time it was kind of the midst of the jungle. Still you see lots of palm trees and things like this. You can have a vision of, before all this construction was there, was just a jungle and one bhajan kutri in the middle of that. So in this way, Srila Sridhar Maharaj gradually started his Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math. But again, he was never someone too much in the external expansion, but more in the internal expansion. And his whole life was marked by this spirit, basically. So they say he was born in Hapaniya, that's in Bengal. He was born in a very aristocratic, Brahminical family. So from a material point of view, he had a very high birth. Again, another reason to be proud of in India. No? I'm a Brahmin. I'm very Paka Brahmin lineage. I'm very pious from birth. All his family was devoted. And he always mentioned that in the beginning he was very much attracted to Ramachandra. Because Ramachandra was so much, he expressed this sense of morality and correctedness and truthfulness and the truth and everything in the proper place. Now, it is said Srila Semaraj never told a lie in his whole life. It was like unthinkable for him. Like, how such a thing could be done? Truth is everything. So he himself said that the very first times that he became familiar with Krishna and the Braja Lila, for him it was difficult to process because he had so much attraction to the Mariad of Ram, not to the everything legal, if you will. And Krishna seemed to be exactly the opposite. Of course, in time he realized this is hyper legal. And eventually he discovered Mahaprabhu. And he became even more attracted. This was a very unique feature of the presentation of Srila Sridhara Maharaj. Especially for those who came before connected with Srila Prabhupada. Almost all of them will tell you this thing. When hearing from Srila Prabhupada, the main emphasis was Krishna. Krishna. The Supreme Personality of God. For proper reason, for sure. Well, when they went to Mahaprabhu, to Srila Sridhara Maharaj, the emphasis shift. And now they found a twofold different emphasis. Mahaprabhu, Sri Radha. Mahaprabhu, Sri Radha. That was the main emphasis of Srila Sridhara Maharaj. Of course, it's not that he wouldn't speak about Krishna. But he has this special attraction to Krishna as Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radha. And to the dedication of Sri Radha. The disposition of sacrifice in love. The self-forgetfulness in divine love. He will become like captured by these ideas again. He could be speaking for hours, yes. So in the beginning, for some of the Prabhupada disciples, they had to accommodate that. Because they were accustomed to a certain mood and emphasis. Indeed, some devotees, unfortunately, they were not able to appreciate Srila Sridhara Maharaj's contribution. I once heard that one of them, when they were asked, why you stopped going to Srila Sridhara Maharaj? And he said, because what he was saying was different from what Prabhupada said. And the point is, of course. Because he was not Srila Prabhupada. Of course, there were similar things, but they are different individuals. So they will say different things in different ways. That's a good symptom. I mean, it makes no sense. I will only go to hear from Srila Semaraj if he exactly says everything as Srila Prabhupada said. For that, I go and put a tape of Srila Prabhupada. I read the book of Prabhupada. That's there. And Prabhupada knew Srila Sridhara Maharaj. He lived with him for years. So he knew which was the emphasis, the style, the mood of Srila Sridhara Maharaj. And he sent his disciples, go there. So he knew, he wanted to expose them to that experience, to that difference. That difference may complement and nourish what they were receiving from Srila Prabhupada. So some unfortunately were not able to accommodate that, at least in the beginning. But some others actually felt Prabhupada is present here again. My Guru Maharaj once told me that before meeting Srila Sridhara Maharaj, he met him through his books. So the very first book he read from Srila Sridhara Maharaj probably is the very first book that most of the devotees who read Srila Sridhara Maharaj is the first.
Shri Guru and His grace.
Okay, we are on the same page. Which was a special important book for that time. That's a compilation of all the discourses Srila Sivananda spoke to Prabhupada's disciples when they went to Srila Sivananda after Prabhupada passed away. Asking him, what to do now? And he's instructing them on Guru Tattva. Very wonderful book. All of you recommended to read it. And if you already read it, please. I'm sure you will never feel this is the same book. These are the books you can write. You can read once every year, at least, and you will find, wow. Did I read this book before?
You have it even on the website, on German.
Okay, so you have no excuse. Sri Guru and His Grace. Yeah, it's available online also in many languages. So the point is, my Guru Maharaj was given this book. But at that time my Guru Maharaj was in ISKCON, Prabhupada Society. And at that time, unfortunately, there was this tendency that Srila Sivananda Maharaj, we shouldn't read him. So why my Guru Maharaj was given the book, Srila Sivananda Maharaj? Because they gave to him, saying, Tripurari Maharaj, you are a good, you understand philosophy good, probably. So please, read this book and find all the deviations here. So we have a very better reasons to make our case against Srila Sivananda Maharaj. So my Guru Maharaj took the book and started to read. And started to cry. Because he felt, here Srila Prabhupada is here. No? That's the universality of Guru Tattva. He may appear through different individuals, that's called Vyasti, but there is a universal principle of the same department called Samasti. So the universal agency of Guru Tattva will come to our lives through different individuals. And even there are different persons, different individuals, they are represented the same agency. So if we are open and receptive, we will feel, in one sense, there is no difference. So my Guru Maharaj felt that, no?
This is one day Guru.
Yeah, exactly. This is a plurality of gurus. So and when he met Srila Sridhar Maharaj in person again, he was crying, feeling. He will feel, nobody apart from Srila Prabhupada can make me feel like this. Nobody apart from my Gurudev have moved my heart in this way. So my Gurudev is appearing here again in this form. So that's how it works. So it's important that we also have those types of confirmations in our heart. And we are also open and doing our 50% as students. Remember that part. No? So in this way, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, I don't know how did I connect one thing with the other. But I was mentioning about his emphasis, difference of emphasis between Radha and Mahaprabhu and Krishna. So he made a lot of contributions to our Gaudiya community in terms of his new insights and realizations. For example, he wrote a very unique commentary on the Brahma Gayatri, which generally in Vedic tradition is seen as a mantra pointing at the sun, sun worship. But he expressed each of the words, explained it in such a way that it showed this is pointing to Radha Dasyam. And of course, again, he was an expert Sanskritist, so he knew how to connect the meanings of the words. And he will also present the reality of Mahaprabhu in unique ways. There's a very beautiful book compiled about his teachings of Mahaprabhu also. Which are very, the name says it all, basically, right?
Every name of his book is like...
Yeah. Let's share some of the names of his books. Just that's those are enchanting by themselves. The Sri Guru and His Grace, golden volcano of divine love. That's about Mahaprabhu. Yeah, those are there.
Loving search
for the lost servant. That's a nice one, because first he wrote... It was published one book called In Search of Sri Krishna, Reality the Beautiful. So it's kind of pointing to how one is looking for Krishna. But then Srila Sarana said, but that's not enough. We have to also emphasize how Krishna is looking for his devotees. So then came this other title. You will repeat it in German? Okay, and that title has like four parts, four volumes of that book. And many other books in this the same direction. Subjective evolution of consciousness, home comfort, absolute harmony,
path of the angel,
the path of the angels, encounters with divinity. And like this, that's only the title of the book. You can imagine what's inside there. So, and as we were speaking today with Krishna Chandra Prabhu during lunch, maybe I'll conclude with this important point. Because sometimes, and this is in connection to this idea of Shastra Nipun again. Sometimes we think that, okay, being a member of the Parampara means I just do copy-paste of what I heard from my acharyas, and I repeat that. Which is okay to begin with. We have to begin somewhere. In the beginning we'll be like parroting Parampara. Copy-paste parroting. How do you say parrot in German? Papagayo?
Papagallando. Oh,
we have papagayo in Spanish. That's a similar species. So that was one level of parroting. Copy-paste. But in time you are expected to become another form of parrot. Sukha mukha dambrita drava samjitam. You have to become like Sukadev. Which is say that a parrot can bite the fruit, and with its beak, it's making the fruit sweeter. So that's very different from just repeating, but adding sweetness. So that's another way of parroting, following the footsteps of Sukadeva Goswami. So ideally, we members of the Parampara are expected to upgrade our parrotness. Our sukhatva. So not only repeat the same thing we heard, but add our own realizations to that. Like Krishna Chandra Prabhu was telling me today, some devotees pray, and their prayer is repeating the prayers written by others, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, which is beautiful. No, they are sharing their hearts, their experience. But at one point, both Bhaktivinoda and Narottam will ask you, and which are your prayers? It's not enough just to repeat what I wrote and sang. You have to develop your own language and mode of praying to Bhagavan. You are an individual. So you have to offer your individuality for the pleasure of Krishna. In Jungian terms, this will be called individuation. You have to become as much of an individual as you can become. Because if you are not doing that job, if you are not developing your personal side, your individuality, that's a form of impersonalism. So impersonalism is not just about saying aham brahmasmi, so aham, neti neti. No. You can be an individual, but you can not be thinking for yourself. feeling for yourself, just doing copy paste of what others are doing. I'm following the masses. Becoming like one mediocre voice, and whatever the others do, oh, okay, I go. But you are not becoming an individual. And to serve Krishna in eternity, you have to offer your individuality. That's what you can offer. So the point is, at some point in our practice, we need to develop our own realizations, our own prayers. On the basis of what our acharyas have given to us, of course. Being dependent to them, we should become independent. Srila Prabhupada will say, I want you to become independently thinking people. My Guru Maharaj likes to say, the Guru doesn't teach the disciples what to think. The Guru teaches the disciple how to think. When you know how to think, you will know what to think by yourself. Again, maybe in the beginning one needs to be told everything. You do like this, don't think like that, do like this. Okay, daddy. Like a boy of 3 years, 4 years, you cannot think too much for yourself. If you give too much independence to a 3-month baby, he will jump on the mountain and who knows what. But in time, the idea is, on the basis of dependence, you become independent. In a healthy way.
And you said something that your Gurudev said, that you should even surpass your Guru. This is a heretic statement.
It's already online, so we have to explain it. So, in which context my Guru Dev said that? Remember, we have to put everything in context. You don't want to see me crucified, please. Nor Krishna Chandra. So once my Guru Maharaj will say, in some missions, the idea will be, you can only say as much as your Guru Dev said, or ideally less. And only then you are qualified. No? Only what Prabhupada said you can repeat. Or better, even better, less. And then you are qualified. And Maguruma said, no, you have to say more. But not more because you are more qualified than your Guru. Not because you are surpassing your Guru independently, but because by his grace or her grace, you can say something more. Some new realizations will come. That's parampara. Every member of the parampara has to contribute with their own realizations. It's not just like, oh no, I'm so fallen that I can only repeat what my Gurudev say. That's false humility. Humility can disguise, the opposite of humility can disguise in the form of humility. And you can be complacent, conformist, mediocre, but, no, I'm so fallen. Only what my Gurudev said. And it seems that you are glorifying your Guru by saying that. But actually, you are rendering a disservice to your Guru. And you are going against the current of parampara. Current of parampara means they will always be coming something new. So we all want to be there for that. Like the famous example is the Bhagavatam. Sukadeva Goswami speaking Bhagavat. Who is in the audience apart from Parikshit Maharaj? Who sits on the first row? Sutta Goswami. Who else? Who is the guru of Sukadeva Goswami? His father, Vyasa. He was there. It's not that Vyasa said, oh, my disciple is speaking? I'm his guru. I don't have anything to learn from him. He was there. Taking notes. Like Bruno these days. He wrote like a whole book of notes. And not only Vyasa was there.
Vyasa
is Sukadev's guru. He was there. Vyasa's guru, Narad Muni, was there. So the guru of the guru of the speaker, Sukadev, were listening. Because they know this is parampara. If each member of the parampara is sincere, something new, exciting will come from there. We cannot miss that. So, do you follow my point? They were not thinking, oh, Sukadev is junior to us. He cannot tell anything new. We are to teach him. A real guru will never think like that. A real guru is the best of disciples. That's why actually we have to use guru sisya parampara. It's not only guru parampara. Sisya is a very important word, disciple. Actually, every guru feels himself, herself a disciple. Srila Srila Maharaj will say that. He will say, in this school, we are students forever. There's no point that you say, I'm no longer a student now, I'm a teacher. It's not happening. Because we are exploring the infinite. So, there's no point that you will end up exploring that. The more you get closer to the infinite, the more infinite it becomes. So the smaller you will feel. The smaller you will feel. The less you will claim, I'm almost catching it. As he will say, Sister Rasu said, the closer you get to the infinite, the more you will realize there's no limit for how much progress we can make. So in that sense, my Guru Maharaj will say, in service to my Gurudev, I will say more. Because by his grace, I will be empowered to say something more. Kali Kalera Dharma Krishna Nam Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Vinanahi Hari Pravartana Chaitanya Chaitanya. If you want to establish Harinam Sankirtan, to share the gift of Mahaprabhu, Krishna Shakti Vinanahi Tara Pravartana. Without Krishna Shakti, this cannot happen. Without being empowered, you cannot share anything. So if you feel the empowered coming, the power empowerment coming, you have to honor that, sharing something. So in that spirit, I will be saying more than my Gurudev. But I will never feel that I'm more than my Gurudev. Actually, I will be feeling he's saying more than what he said before through me. So I'm taking this bold position, sitting here in this fancy seat, opening my mouth, but all in his service. So that's the highest humility than saying, oh, I cannot say anything, I'm so fallen. Do you follow the point? So this is very important. And again, and Srila Samaras was very unique in extending the contribution of his Gurudev. He was already famous at the time of his Gurudev for being able to extend the meaning of his Gurudev's words. When Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta will speak Harikatha, maybe if you are familiar with some of his writings and discourses, some of them were a little bit like complex and dense to follow. The way he expressed were like sometimes pretty terse, difficult to... He's saying that better than me in German. So at the end of the lecture, many people or even many disciples of Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta will go to Srila Siddhar Maharaj and ask him, please give us the essence of what Gurudev said. So he will share the same thing but in his own words, extending that, showing the depth of what his Gurudev said, but at the same time making it accessible and understandable for everyone. All in the service to his Gurudev. So this was like the signature mark of Srila Siddhar Maharaj. You give something to him and he will like extend and expand and extract And would that show to you the unlimited nature of the subject matter we are talking about? So he's, in this sense, he's a very, very, very specific figure of what a guru is. Someone who is constantly contributing with new realizations and keeping the tradition alive and fresh and dynamic and progressive. He likes so much all these words. and that was challenging. Because you were hearing those discourses and you had to do something with that. But that was the beauty and the charm of having someone like him. So in that way, today we are celebrating having someone like him in our lives, in our altar, which hopefully means in our hearts, because the altar is a representation of our hearts, where we want our heart to be. So our divine inspiration is to even serve personalities like Sri Dasyan Maharaj for eternity. Nityanavadip, you will there along with our Gurudev, Param Gurudevs, and so on. So this is the, trying to make full circle and going back to the beginning words of Krishna Chandra Prabhu. This is how we go to as conceive all the things without duality. No. There's no birth and death. And even we can relate with someone like Srila Siddhar Maharaj now and forever. If we want that. He's generous enough to give us his association. And he's already waiting for us there. So better we take it seriously so we can gain his association. Of course he's here as well with us. So we can take advantage of his association now in the form of his discourses, teaching, life, example, students, servants. So in this way, today we are focusing in this particular personality, which, and of course, throughout our year we are always celebrating these appearances of disappearances of so many personalities. So each one of them are showing a very unique approach to the divine, like a multifaceted jewel with different ways of shining. And sometimes the devotees may say, oh, today is the appearance day of, I don't know, Jagadananda Pandit. And someone may say, oh, it's not so important. It's not Gopurnim, not Janmastami, not Radhastami. So, who is this Kolabech Sridhar, Jagadananda? This not so important, so no need to know them. Srila Sridhar Maharaj. We shouldn't think like this. Because each one of these personalities are embodiments of divine love. And our goal is divine love. So if my goal is divine love, and today is the disappearance or appearance of someone who is the personification of divine love, means that the goal of my life is taking shape and appearing in front of me. So if I'm interested in attaining divine love as the goal of my life, I will be interested in knowing about the life of those who are the personification of that goal. Each and every of them. You follow my point? So that's why we have all the celebrations in our Panjik and our Vaishnav calendar. We should take the time to know about their life and teachings and love. And pray to them in a day like today. We can conclude our Katha with with this some inner intimate personal prayer to someone like Srila Siddhar Maharaj today, so he may bless us with all that he is. With his wisdom, with his lack of pratishtha, with his loyalty to Mahaprabhu and Sri Radha, with his Shastra Nipunata, with his capacity to present the essence of revelation in dynamic way. So we can also become active, loyal, dynamic members of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. And we can represent Mahaprabhu and his agents in a proper way, to the world, to other devotees, and to ourselves also, in service. So may a day like today's, Srila Bhaktivinoda Dev Goswami Maharaj shower us with his unlimited kind mercy. So we pray for his blessings at his divine feet and that of all his sincere followers. Srila Bhakti Rakakshar Dev Goswami Maharaj ki Tiro Bab Mahotsav Titi Srila Siddhar Maharaj ki Gaur Premanand Hari. So, for concluding, and after our prayer to Srila Bhaktivinoda Dev Goswami, I don't know if there are any concluding remarks, questions, commentaries you may like to share before we put our session to rest. A lot to process. Okay. You would like to close with some words, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, something? No. Some reflection, something?
No, I want to...
With your permission.
We just want, maybe you can, this point is so, I feel it's so important that this appreciation for the same message when it comes in different vessels. And the mood of even the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is so extremely different. So just this fact that in recent times there is so extreme opposite and different moods, it actually shows that the Lord doesn't want us to keep in the prison of Kanishtha Adhikar. Because this is like this quality to be extremely fascinated from difference. Is like a main entrance to enter Nadia Madhikar. So maybe you can elaborate just a few words on that.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much. And totally, of course, we agree with that. And Madhya Madhikar is someone who nourishes himself by diversity. So that's a very interesting. Of course, that's the difference with the Kanishtha Adhikari. Kanishtha Adhikari still cannot accommodate diversity. And as we say, there's place for that. There's place for being in kindergarten. But when you are already ready for the next step, and you stay, insist to remain in kindergarten, that's unbecoming, that's not good. So it's interesting because differences among Vaishnavas, when each Vaishnava being different is like an ornament in each Vaishnava. So if we don't appreciate the ornament, we may feel ourselves threatened by that in our narrow-mindedness. And we may end up attacking that thing that actually is the very ornament of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. All this in the name of I'm being loyal and showing faith to this. So that's the situation of the Kanishtha. Of course, if the Kanishtha is properly guided, he will be protected, she will be protected from that. But ideally, we should grow into this direction where diversity nourishes me. It's no longer a danger, but it's nourishing. This is a very different stance. In the beginning, it's dangerous. Then there is no danger. It's okay. But then I need that. Of course, I need that doesn't mean that I stop having my commitment with my Gurudev, for example. And it doesn't mean like, okay, now I will listen to every single possible person on earth. And everything becomes like multi-branched and diluted. It's too much. It's not possible. But nonetheless, we should appreciate diversity. You follow my point? Like Gopa Kumara, as we were saying. He appreciates so much diversity, but at the same time, he has his goal in mind. So we may have our goal, our mood, our Gurudev, if you will. But it doesn't mean that I do not appreciate anyone else.
Because we want, it's not like tolerating the difference, no. But it's loving the difference.
Exactly.
Because in the Nitya Dham, we would have a problem. Because
a big problem.
Million times more.
And as we spoke the other day, we are not thinking in terms of Nitya Bihar. There are some Vaishnava lineages who think we will enter into one point of the Lila where only will be Radha and Krishna inside the Kunja and it will be us serving them there. Nothing else. No Jasoda, no Nanda, no Madhu Mangal, no Raktag, no Patrak, no cows, no forests. Only that forest flower, bower. I'm not criticizing that, I'm just saying. But in that situation, there is no much challenge to harmonize diversity. But as we were sharing these days, between Vatsalya and Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya, so much transcendental clashing is there. But a clashing, quote-unquote clashing. Because at the same time, Yashoda loves Radha, as we know. By day one wants Krishna to sleep all night at home, the other wants Krishna to be all day awake in Rasa Lila. But they love each other. So if you want to go to... So we should prepare for dealing with a world of diversity. And yes, in Vrindavan everything is properly accommodated. But being a Madhya means to engage in that exercise of harmonizing. And Srila Siddharth will be such a person. He likes so much the word harmony. So much. So much he will repeat the term harmony over and over again. Harmony, harmony, harmony. And he will refer, that comes from music, which means different notes, but sounding together in the same way that sound like one single harmonious thing. But there are differences. You have sa, ga, pa. You play a chord. There are three notes, but they sound like one thing. So there's diversity, but joining together to create beauty. So again, in the beginning, we may not be able to that. And we just may need to play one note. Only my guru, this mission, this style, this is the only thing, this is the best. And you are in your kindergarten like that. Like I gave the example, Prabhupada gave the example, I will put a fence around my neophyte disciples. So this devotional sprout, I put the seed, the sprout starts to come, but it's very weak sprout. So if I don't put a fence, a rain like today comes, and the sprout may be uprooted and die. The sprout doesn't have strength to deal with the outside world. So we will put a fence still here. So sprout will be growing, will be watered, but doesn't have an idea what's going on outside. So those who are outside think, hey, you don't know anything about life. You think that life is only that fence. It's nothing. But this sprout is in the process of getting rooted and growing upwards and growing downwards in the rooting form. That's the quality of nishta. You are growing like a tree, up, but down also fixed. So at one point the sprout will start to grow above the fence. But it will only see outside the fence where the roots are properly in place, not before. So when the sprout is seeing outside the fence, wow, what's all this? But it's already properly rooted, so it won't be disturbed by that. It may be a little shaking in the beginning, but it's already fixed enough. So it will survive the diversity. But after a few days, we'll feel, oh, this is nice. Not only I can survive the wind and the sun and the insects coming or whatever. I like this. Now I think I cannot live without this anymore. So similarly, it has to happen when we go beyond the fence of Kanishta Bhakti. We realize the diversity in the Vaishnava world. And in the beginning, may think like, wow, what's this? Why this acharya is singing a different Mangala Charan than my Gurudev? And that's a different Artic song they are singing. And different tilak color. Or whatever. No, the Sika is smaller. On their side, a different prayer before Prasad. Oh, of course, all these are superficial details. Or the acharya has another mood. He speaks louder, slower, quotes more verses, more poetic, more Indian, more Western. So much diversity. But if you are honest and sincere, you start to see, yes, but behind all that, there is some unity also. So there is something in common among all of them. That's the only way you can deal with the diversity. When you start to appreciate the common ground, the common idea. Oh, but they are all belong, as your Guru Maharaj will say, to Gaur Parivar. Srila Narayana Maharaj will say, all the Gaudiya expressions are like branches of the same tree, of the same trunk. And the trunk is Mahaprabhu. So we belong to one trunk with one branch, one with another branch. But all of us are part of the same tree. And you will never see the branches of a tree fighting with one another. Hey, I'm the best branch. You are the best branch. No, I belong to the trunk. You don't belong to the... It doesn't happen. But sometimes it happens in the tree of Mahaprabhu. That's embarrassing. We should feel embarrassed and feel I have to do something about this. Starting by my own example, of course. How I'm relating with other Vaishnavas. Or how I'm related to the Vaishnava I live with, to begin with. Because sometimes I'm nice with other Vaishnavas, but with the ones I'm living with... Or I relate nicely in inter-religious meetings with Christian people, Buddhist, Jews people. Oh, how nice, I appreciate your difference. When some Vaishnava from another mission comes, it's like,
you start to look to another place. Tell me when he already passed.
Okay. So you see in which situation you may be. Hopefully none of them. But the point is, we have to grow in all the things. If we don't pass these tests, we won't enter Braj Nityanavadvip. We won't be able to deal with that diversity. So here we are on the gym here, trying to exercise our our muscles, inner muscles, to work on this. So again, we have to reach that point that diversity is beautiful and necessary. But also unity is as necessary as beautiful also. That's why another way of saying Veda Ved is unity in diversity. So we want the two of them. We want the best of the two of them. We don't want unity to swallow diversity. And we don't want diversity to swallow unity. No? If unity swallows diversity, we end in Advaita Vad in Brahman. No diversity, all one. But as we say, that's boring. There's nobody there, nothing is going on, no exchange, nothing. And if there's only diversity and not unity, we already know that in this world, the conflicts, constant conflict because of separate interests, and we are not able to see some common cause, universal common cause. Because you may see some common cause, let's fight for the whales in South Africa. Okay, that's it. But that's not universal common cause. No. So still there will be conflict at one point. As I like to say, diversity is the spice of life, they say. But also too much spice, you cannot eat the food. But no spice, you cannot eat the food either. So the masala has to be in place. So anyhow, some words in that connection. No? And of course the importance of associating with those who are giving that example to us. Like opening the doors to diversity, accompanying us there, allowing us that experience. No? As we say also the other day, it's not just like, no, don't go there. You just stay with me. Because actually you are afraid, oh, maybe Dates goes there and may they get inspired. So what's the problem if you get inspired? No? It's not like, oh, now we lost one devotee. Or sometimes I've heard devotees saying, oh, such a great soul left this world. So that's a loss. But maybe they are thinking more in loss of this person who is bringing so many people, giving so much money, we lost that. We have to think, no, that's again on the upper realm where he's going now. So we should be celebrating. So my Guru Maharaj likes to say, and with this, I think I will conclude. Let's see. I won't promise anything. The Guru is the... The Guru is a servant of the Shraddha of the disciple. That means to be a Guru. Guru doesn't mean like, you belong to me. And you cannot go anywhere else and you do whatever I do. I say, no, you belong to me. No. The Guru feels, I'm here to serve your faith. So whatever best serves your faith, I'm willing to adapt. One story from my Guru Maharaj, and with this I conclude. Once one devotee came to my Guru Maharaj. He had been initiated by one Prabhupada disciple who after some time was unable to continue in his service as Guru. There were some situations after Prabhupada left for some years. So after that, my Gurudev took shelter. This devotee took shelter in a second Prabhupada disciple, who also left his service as Guru in time. So that happened like four times. So you can imagine. After that, it's complex. No, to recover your faith and to have hope and to fully give yourself to someone. So he met my Guru Maharaj and asked him for shelter. So my Guru Maharaj understood the situation and he gave that. So some time passed, but my Guru Maharaj was seeing he's not making progress. I mean, nothing wrong happened between them, but and with this I'm going to some of the points I mentioned before, some relative aspects in the relationship that may be necessary. So my Guru Maharaj realized this devotee has gone through so many like traumatic experiences with young Western gurus. Although with me everything is okay, externally I'm a young Western guru. So somehow I can feel that he's not able to fully give himself. That external form is like an obstacle to him. He cannot like go beyond that. Yeah, it's triggering that previous samskara. On some level, again. The disciple, maybe he was not noticing that. But my Guru Maharaj, as his guru, was attentive. Are you making progress or not? The guru should have a concern with that. It's not just I give you the mantra and good luck. See you whenever you reach Golok or something like that. But it's like I commit myself to accompany you in your journey. And the disciple, of course, accepts. I'm willing to be accompanied. So anyhow, my Guru Maharaj realized what's the problem, if you will. And he reached a very interesting conclusion, which was he needs to accept a guru who is Indian and old. Again, it's external form, but he was trapped in that form. He needed that form because of what he experienced before. You follow my point? You cannot just say to the student, be more essentialist and just see the essence. Some will say, I cannot. I need some form also. So he, and the idea came to his mind, Srila Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, no? Who was present at that time in the world, yeah. He passed away in 1999. Interestingly, Srila Prabhupada passed in 77, Srila Semaraj passed in 88, and Puri Maharaj passed in 99. 12. So, Srila Puri Maharaj was at that time almost, as I told you, that day almost 100 years old. So my Guru Maharaj went to his disciple with this unique proposal. Generally, you don't have your own guru telling you, I think you should be reinitiated by that guru. So again, this is not generally in the general rule, but sometimes there are exceptional situations. And as a guru, you should be ready to adjust to that. Because again, my guru was thinking, I want to serve the faith of this person. But I feel that in this situation, his faith is not growing. So what arrangement we can make so his faith is nourished? So this was his idea. So he explained all this to his disciple. And the disciple understood the point. And accepted the point. So he went eventually to India. They were not in India. And he met Srila Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj. And he asked, please, I would like to receive your shelter. And Srila Puri Maharaj said, but because he already had Upavita and Kantimala, said, but you are already initiated. Yes. So I would like to re-receive mantra from you. And Srila Puri Maharaj would say, but who is your guru? Now, did he fell from his position? Did he became an offender of the Vaishnava? Because in Shastra there are certain cases in which you can get reinitiation under certain circumstances. But in other circumstances that may be aparad. If your guru is bona fide and everything. If your guru is bona fide, if you are and you look for reinitiation, means you are rejecting something bona fide. So in this case, it's said to say, well, my Gurudev is Tripurari Maharaj. And Srila Puri Maharaj knew my Gurudev. So he said, why would you want reinitiation? I mean, he's a sadhu, he's bona fide Vaishnava. I cannot give you reinitiation. That will be apparat to Srila Tripurari Maharaj. No, sorry. But he said, but he told me to ask you that. And Srila Puri Maharaj was like,
What? Why?
No, so he explained this very unusual situation. No? I was reinitiated 4 times and this happened. So Srila Purimash kind of started to, oh, that's very unique situation. I said, okay, but I don't know if actually Sri Purimash agrees with this or this is, or you are coming with this idea yourself. I don't want to do anything against his wish. Srila Purimash was very respectful of every Vaishnava. If you got to know him, he was like the, many will say, the personification of the third verse of Shikshastakam. Literally. You can watch a video of him 5 seconds, as I said the other day, look, doing like this, and you're ready. Your heart, you feel your heart starts to melt. It's too much. I especially recommend, if you want, you can watch, that's in YouTube, his talk on when he was, on his Vyasa Puja when he was 100 years. He gave a lecture on that day. One century of devotion. He was a devotee from birth. So if you ask him how long you are with the devotee, he will say 1 century. 100 years. But he will make such a humble lecture at that time. The whole Vaishnava world was at his feet. But he will say, I'm getting old, I'm forgetting all, my memory is failing. Please excuse me, I won't be able to quote the verses properly. And then he will recite Bangla Charan for 40 minutes. So you say, well, if that's bad memory, okay. And again, so many, he will say, you're offering puja to me, Vyasa puja, but actually, this goes to my Guru Maharaj. It's like if someone, there's a person with his dog, and if you put the garland of the owner of the dog, and some petals fell on the dog, you put the garland of the owner of the dog, and some petals of the garland fall on the dog, you are not offering the pet flowers to the dog. That just happened accidentally. So I'm like that. I'm like the dog at the feet of my Guru Maharaj. So all this is offered to him, and I'm just these petals. And when he will say that, his voice will choke up. He will stop speaking. He'll start to cry. And start like So anyhow, the point is that Srila Purimash was able to speak with my Guru Maharaj. And my Guru Maharaj confirmed, yes, I sent him, I asked him to you. Okay, so Purimara said, okay, so then under those exceptional circumstances, I'll do it. So again, this is an example of this type of mentality and flexibility and importance of relative aspects sometimes in our relationship with Sri Prabhupada. So things that we should think about deeply also. Srila Bhakti Pramapuri Goswami Maharaj Ki. Okay, so I think we have already spoken more than 2 hours, so one just little more thing.
No, just under the prayer.
Yes.
You know that we meditate on Srila Shri Maharaj and that, like in the prayer of Yanila Premadan, actually, we feel like orphans in this world. There were so many great souls who came to this world, but they left. We are still here. And Narottam Das Thakur is even saying, in the absence of such personality, I don't know what I should do. Maybe I should jump in the fire. It would be less pain. So it's very interesting when we hear about such wonderful souls like Srila Srila Maharaj, there should come a pain in our heart. And this pain gets greater and greater, and jumping in the fire or smashing one's head on the stone will be much less pain than this. So this is just, it's actually an intense day. And I'm just praying and praying, one day may I sit in their Sangha and that I can sit with them, hearing them speak about my beloved Lord.
Tatastu, so be it. So that's our aspiration, as you said today in the beginning. That's our goal after getting liberated. Krishna Prem Janmate No Punar Mukya Anga.
when we attain prem, sadhu sangha becomes the main aspect of our practice. Forever. Sadhu sangha ki jai, Shri Gurudev ki jai, Shri Gaur Gadadhar ji ki jai, Shri Radha Govinda ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Tirubhav Mahotat Thiti Srila Bhakti Rakshita Dev Goswami Maharaj ki jai, Gaur Premanand Hari.